And we're pleased to have Mr. Mark Gushman, editor and equestrian of the Equestrian Adventurer, who is now joining us. Good morning, Mark. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
It's Gushman.
Gushman. Okay.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Good.
I love your website. As you know, through Bob Fisher, that we've been my family, my daughters have been very much involved in horses, and in fact, they still have two at the house. One, of course, is a warm blood, and I sent her an email this morning suggesting that she listen to the show and maybe get some inside information on what's happening with what you're doing. If we can start, first of all, by telling us a bit about Equestrian Adventurer, if you will.
Well, what Equestrian Adventurer is an online publication and a community for people who love horses or are interested in horses, who ride horses, who can share information and learn about different places to ride in any country in the world, and at all different levels, beginners, advanced, everything from simple trail rides out of resorts in Colorado or New Mexico, to dressage training centers, to adventure safaris or in Africa, or adventure rides in South America. And it's really designed to be a place where we can provide information, but also where people can go into a reader forum and share information with each other about good experiences they've had, places they've liked to ride, and costs, accommodations, things for other people can do on the ride, and basically learn about different ways to travel and ride.
Well, and you personally have ridden and continue to ride horses all over the world, from packing trips to adventure rides, I understand, also from ranches to luxury resorts. And you had training in competing with hunter jumpers with Rosie Reed and David Joshua in Los Angeles, California, I understand.
That's right. That's right. That's my background, is as a hunter jumper rider, and I really trained and studied and competed. And you know, after a while, you start getting ring burnout sometimes, where it's a great experience and a great way to ride, and it's a great discipline. But one of the things that I really loved was just being out with the horses and out exploring terrain and learning about different equestrian cultures and meeting people. And so I started trying to get outside of the arena more and more. And one of the things that brought me to that was starting to ride when I travel. And I found that when I traveled, I was actually a much bolder rider, because the environment I was in was very competitive. And it was very much about preparing for a show that weekend and that kind of thing. And I think for me, I started a little bit to lose some of the passion and the love of just being around horses, being outdoors, and exploring nature on horseback.
Well,
so I started traveling.
Yeah, I can attest to that, because when my oldest daughter was somewhat younger, and we took a trip to England, we were in London actually, and she said to me, "Dad, gee, I'd like to ride while we're here." And I said, "Well, let's see if we can find some stables. There's bound to be some stables around." So we were staying at a hotel on Half Moon Street, and it was just off of Green Park. And we went down towards where the hospital is, and just under the building next door, they had stables onto there. Somebody already told us that. So we went in, and she said, "Gee, I'd like to ride." And he kind of looked at her and said, "Well, you know, we don't have those kinds of saddles you Americans ride in." And
right.
And so she said, she didn't say anything. She was quite cool about it. And she said, "Well, can I make arrangements to ride tomorrow, and I'll just do the best I can?" So when she arrives, of course, the next morning, she has on all this English riding gear, and he kind of took a look at her and thought, I guess I opened my mouth a little bit too soon. And next thing I know, there she was riding off, crossing the street, getting into Green Park with five or six other local gals, and I look at the park, and there they are riding behind the guard from Kensington Palace.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, how amazing is this? But the point that I'm making, and I think it's what brings all of this out in being able to travel and ride is that the next day I was getting phone calls, and it would be, "Oh, Mr. Larry, this is Lady so-and-so. Can Tiffany come and ride with our daughter Sarah tomorrow morning?" And so before you know it, you have this camaraderie. You have
unbelievable
this,
camaraderie,
and,
yeah.
And the same interest. Now, and I think people should know that if they don't. And I'm looking at a list of some of the places that you have tourists. I'm seeing Botswana, Costa Rica, Egypt, France, India, Mongolia, Spain, and USA, of course. And we know that there are great places in Ireland as well that have riding tours through castles. So let's talk a bit about that. Let's talk about taking a tour and how one goes about doing that.
Well, there's a couple of different ways that people can do it. I in the past had used, there's a couple of tour companies that arrange trips around the world, and you can call them, and they'll usually have one or two places that they might send people to. One of the things I like about using our site is that the actual local company can post their listings, tell you all about them, and you can directly contact them and talk to them about the quality of the horses and things like that. We also have people post guest reviews, so you can see what other people have said about the different trips. And so you can contact them and talk to them about the different kinds of horses, how many days people go out for, what the experience level is. And usually people book their trip around their riding event. Some people will take a different a business trip or a trip to go see something else, maybe tack on a few days of riding. But for a lot of people who are doing the larger riding trips of, say, 10, 14 days, that's really their whole vacation.
That would be wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, and you take off. We got back in December. We went to Chile, and we did a 14-day ride. It was actually a combination ride and kayaking trip through a giant national park. And we really built the trip around that. We flew down and met the outfitter, and usually the outfitter will arrange the hotels. And really, it's one-stop shopping. You arrange your flight, and they will usually, the local outfitters, put together everything. And a lot of them have been doing it for decades. Years, they're often family businesses, and like I say, they'll often they provide everything, the food, the accommodations, the local transport that you might need to get out to the horses, and then you jump on and go. And a lot of them really pride themselves on having only one or two horses for each rider. If they're good, they will set you up with a horse that meets your personality and your skill level. And if the horse isn't a good horse for you, then they'll change horses to try and find a horse that better suits your abilities. And usually there's people from all over the world on these trips. A lot of people from the United Kingdom take trips like this, people from Europe. And one of the things I like is you meet local people, but also you meet people from all over the world who are traveling to that area to ride.
Exactly. Now, let's just get back to Equestrian Adventurer. This is a line of publication. Is that true?
That's right. It's equestrianadventurer.com, and it's an online publication. And we also have published an Equestrian Adventurer travel column, which is in about 20 riding magazines across the United States, regional riding magazines that equestrians can pick up in their tack shops,
right,
or where they ride. And that column sort of highlights sort of the bigger trips that are on the website.
So the primary purpose of Equestrian Adventurers is to get the information out. And on there are booking engines or links to places where you can get these services. Is that correct?
That's right. It's what we have is listings for all different kinds of places. And then a contact form where you can directly contact all of the different riding companies, you know, if it's in Spain, if it's in Argentina, whatever. You can contact them right through the site, and then you're in direct contact with them, and you can arrange everything directly with them.
And I noticed that you also have a blog on there.
Yeah, I actually love doing this. There's always people that I know who are taking trips. I know you mentioned Bob Fisher. He was recently in France.
Right.
We have a friend in Africa now and a friend in Egypt. And there are always people we know taking trips, going to different events. And what I try to do in the blog is just talk about sort of almost on I'm trying to get it so I can be doing it every couple of days, letting people know, hey, here are great things that people are doing all over the world.
Tell us about it, right, exactly.
Yeah, rather than just waiting for feature articles to come out, we can say, okay, this person's doing this. And what I try to tie it in with is why the person's doing it, because I think that's one of the interesting things that's missing from some travel writing, is why is someone taking that trip? For example, I think my recent blog is about my friend Lisa, who's in Egypt. She's really trying to explore her craft as a photographer. So she's going to Egypt and taking a writing trip to sort of open her up for creativity, to experiment with different kinds of photography, to really practice that skill, hone that skill. And so I try to get into what people are getting out of the trips on, you might call it a creative level, an emotional level, a spiritual level, rather than just a here's what you go and here's where you go and here's what you see when you do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're getting it firsthand.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, there's a note here, a question that wanted me to ask, and that is, and people ask me this question about destinations all the time, and it's not always an easy question to answer, but what is your dream equestrian trek?
I have two. I actually have not done a horseback safari in Africa, and I would really love to do that and go see all the African wildlife that we've, for all of us who've never been to Africa, all of this wildlife that we've seen in National Geographic and in films our whole lives, I'd really love to do that. And from what I understand from people who've been there, being on a horse as opposed to being in a Jeep, you can get much closer to the animals and really almost immerse yourself in the lives, get close to the herds, and really be involved.
That's kind of interesting because I've spent a fair amount of time in Africa.
Is that right?
Yes, and I've never thought about it doing on horseback. I've always felt the security of having a door closed around me. It gave me a little bit more confidence because I've actually seen a lion tear a door off a Jeep. Because people tend to think they're in a zoo, and this is the real thing. And so I'm sure they have it organized to a point where you're safe and they go to certain places where the animals are used to horses, but I certainly wouldn't want to be around a hungry lioness.
That's right. Well, they the old joke, as they say, is you don't have to be faster than the lion. You just have to be faster than the other people on the tour.
Mark, it's a great chat. I really enjoyed it. We'd love to have you on the show again. The website, if I have it correctly, is EquestriansAdventure.com.
Yes, that's right, EquestrianAdventurer.com.
Adventurers.com. And thanks very much for sharing this all with us.
Thank you.
And bye for now.
Okay, take care, Lloyd. Bye-bye.